Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 203 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Christian Academy volleyball tonight with head coach Michelle Quick and two of her star players. And we'll also have a special guest on at the end of the podcast. But right now, my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and this is his first time on the podcast since we've moved to our new office out here at the Standard Building on Northeast 36th. He's Ron Sampson. Ron, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, very good. Pretty fancy place.
Yeah, you like it, huh?
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, hey, before we talk real estate, I know you're a big baseball guy, so let's talk a little baseball. Did you watch much of the World Series?
Watched the World Series. Very interesting. You know, okay, so this spring, Benj has been drafted 30 years. 30 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
Two of his buddies are doing games right now that he was drafted with and played with in the minors, A.J. Pruszynski and David Ortiz.
Right.
And then, of course, Rodriguez was right along with him, and he was still doing color commentary. But the neatest thing was the fact that Benj's next-door neighbor was the closer for the Astros, so we're kind of pulling for the Astros.
Ryan Presley. Yeah.
Ryan Presley. Very impressive outings. Nice curveball.
Oh, yeah. Well, as a Twins fan, it's hard for me to see a guy like Presley, you know, leave Minnesota and then he wins a championship, you know, elsewhere, just like Eddie Rosario did last year with the Braves.
Yep.
You know, and now the Twins have let Miguel Sano go. So I fully expect him to go somewhere else and get healthy and maybe turn into David Ortiz 2.0. You know, I just wish some of these guys would reach their potential while they're still in Minnesota.
That's kind of what we were always wishing too, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yep.
Well, hey, let's talk some real estate. You know, are you keeping pretty busy these days, or are the high interest rates kind of scaring people away?
It's been a kind of a crazy year. You know, we were so busy starting in January, and then it continued up until just a few weeks ago. And, you know, well, you could get materials, and you could get the houses started. You couldn't always finish them. But MJ has probably been better than most builders getting them finished and getting the customer satisfied. We finally now have about six models to see over on Northwest 29th, just between Centennial High School and Irvindale.
Oh, okay.
That nice development out there, it's called Centennial Estates, and they're awesome, and they're what we call a villa.
Sure.
And so it's for kind of a mature type of a buyer, and they can either choose to do their own yard work and snow work, or they can contract it. But there's nothing they have to do.
How big are those units?
They are three-bedroom, finished basements, sunrooms. They're very nice. They are about 1,570 square feet. And, you know, two-car garage, one, and then we have the rest of them are three. So there's just something out there to fit everybody's needs. But it's just, it's a nice street. It's a beautiful development.
What's the price range on those units?
Price range is $389 to $399.
All right.
Yep.
Any other complexes that you want to talk about?
Well, of course, one of these days we're going to be building out here by Costco. I know that's one of the things that they're talking about, and I don't know what the jump-off time will be, but it'll be sometime after this spring. I just drove by that coming over here. That has just come up overnight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dan, when I was young, I used to walk beans in that exact spot, Everett Allbaugh's farm. Is that dating all of us or what?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just a matter of time before, you know, things start to build on that side of the interstate.
Yeah. It's good for everybody. Good for Ankeny.
Sure. Well, if anybody's interested in taking a look at any of those properties, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
515-250-5383. And it can be either Ron or Andy. Andy Logan's my partner, and we just share duties.
All right. Well, thanks for coming tonight, Ron. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Christian volleyball team. And last week, she guided her team to the school's first ever state championship in any team sport. The Eagles won their last 18 matches en route to the Class 1A crown, and they finished with a 39-3 record. She is Michelle Quick. Michelle, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you bet. Well, congratulations on your team's incredible accomplishment. You've had about a week now to let things soak in a little bit. Is it still hard to believe what you guys were able to do?
Yes, it definitely is. The odds were definitely stacked against us in that match, and somehow we came back and made the impossible happen. I've watched it multiple times and over and over again, and just amazed at the outcome.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, you took over the program in 2019. You guided the team to a 13-17 record in your first season. And from there, the program has just gotten better and better each year. The Eagles went 17-13 in 2020 before going 33-4 last year, which kind of set the stage for this season. So when you took over the program, did you see this kind of success coming in the next few years? You obviously knew that your daughters would be coming up through the program. But did you know how much over talent there was, you know, going to be?
Well, when I look back and I took over the program, I was excited to be a coach at that point, but there's so much more that goes into the program as far as leading and then just teaching the fundamentals. I knew we had talent. I knew we had a good group of girls coming up in the upline. You know, 4 to 5 girls, which is exciting and it's great to plan for, but you know, it takes a good 8 to 10 players to really run a smooth offense and an efficient system. And more than just talent, you know, we need that winning edge, and we need all the camaraderie and all the pieces to fit together. And, you know, it's a challenging process, but when we put all those pieces together, it started to click. And over the years, we've worked on multiple things like skill and mindset and connection, trust and heart, all of those things, in addition to talent.
Well, of course, last year you guys lost to Gladbrook-Rhinebeck in the regional final. So the goal this year was to get over that hump and earn the school's first ever trip to the state tournament. But as the season progressed, I know you told me that your goal had changed a little bit because not only did you think that the team was capable of getting to state, but you thought the team, you know, could do some major damage once you got there. So even though the way that, you guys won the championship, it was pretty amazing, I don't think you're really surprised by what you did, are you?
Yeah, you know, as we worked through the season, we kept talking about state and, you know, what state looks like for us. So it's been an ongoing conversation really throughout the school and the team. But early on, we had the opportunity to compete against some big schools and, you know, Centennial, Hawks Valley, North Polk, Roosevelt, and several other big schools. And at that point, the conversation started to happen that we're a 1A school, but not a 1A team. And I think that was crucial for our girls to start believing that and understanding that. When we competed strongly against those top teams, it gave us a realization that our skill is there, our talent is there. And, you know, throughout the season, we started to compete in our regular season schedule with 2, 3, 4A schools, 5A schools. And it helped us to kind of mold that belief. And we were able to compete with those levels and beat those different levels of class. And it definitely helped us kind of define where we wanted to be in the season. And it moved us into postseason. We started thinking about, you know, we're only 3 matches away and then 2 matches away. And then we also had to kind of change our mindset and think, wait a minute, when we get to state, we have 3 more matches. So the end of the season wasn't just getting to state. It was about, you know, what are the next steps that we have to do to get to the end.
Well, in Tuesday's quarterfinals, you guys swept Don Bosco in the 4-5 matchup, which is often a pretty close match, and that was your 100th career victory, which is a pretty cool milestone for you to achieve. So did you get a chance to celebrate that accomplishment, or did you have to get to work right away on the next match?
Yeah, not really. It really wasn't on my mind. I wasn't super aware of it. I knew it was out there prior to going into state, but it wasn't on my mind until afterwards a few people congratulated me, and I thought, oh, okay, great. That, you know, it's 100 wins. But it was fast. It's a fast turnaround when you get to state. My focus that night was to get the girls fed and get them to sleep and start thinking about Springville and our next step. So, yeah, it was a great accomplishment, but really the focus there was about the team and, you know, what our next date was going to look like.
Well, yeah, your next opponent, Springville, was the number one team, and I know you and a couple of the players told me that you had started preparing for the Orioles a little bit before the tournament even began. You know, I found that very interesting because usually coaches are so focused on one match at a time, and they don't want their players to, you know, look too far ahead. But that kind of told me a couple of things. So one, that you felt pretty comfortable maybe about your first round matchup, and two, you felt like maybe you needed some more time to prepare for Springville, and it obviously worked out, didn't it?
It did. We were very prepared. We heavily prepared, you know, early on, you know, after we won substate, we were dialed in to Don Bosco. And we knew that we had to prep for that. But we also, if we were going to make it through the next round and the next round, we had to start thinking ahead. And our anticipation was that Springville was going to take that first round. You know, we watched them last year in the state championship, and we knew they had a talented team. So we were starting to prepare by watching them and looking into, you know, what our second opponent was going to look like. And it was important for us to not breeze by that first round because we still needed to accomplish that. But we had to dial into what was potentially going to be next. next for us. And we knew that it was going to be a tough match. It was important for us to get ahead and prepare for that and have effective practices with that thought in mind, just because of the short turnaround. And, you know, our teams play better when our team plays better, when we know what's ahead of us and we know what to expect from that team that's on the other side of the court.
Well, yeah, your team came out and you absolutely destroyed that Springville in three sets. They were never really even in the match, maybe a little bit in the third set. So what was the key to dominating them the way that you did?
Yeah, we had a lot of calm confidence. Walking out on that court, and I got a lot of responses from people that were watching the game too. They're like, wow, how are your girls so confident with this first trip to state? But we were prepared. We prepared and practiced that morning. We knew their numbers. We knew their primary hitter. We knew their setter was going to be, a strong contender. We walked through their rotations and in correlation to their rotation. So we knew who we were going to be matched up against on a head-to-head basis. We knew going into it too, it was going to be a setter's duel. We knew Katie was going to be going against an experienced setter that was in the championship last year, and they produced some great successes in their year as well. And so we just focused on, you know, keeping them out of system. I remember at one point during that match, I looked at my assistant coach and I said, how many times has she passed that ball with her platform? Which is unusual, but that's a good thing when it comes back to us. Our serving kept them out of system. We were aggressive. We were on point, and we utilized our strengths by preparing really well. Our blockers really camped out on, or their blockers actually camped out on Katie. They knew she could go over on two, mm-hmm. whether it be a dump or an attack, and that just opened the net for all of our attackers just to swing away.
Well, then in Thursday's championship match, you guys got a rematch against Gladbrook Rhinebeck, the team that ended your season a year ago. And I'm sure the girls were excited to have the opportunity to avenge that loss, but the Rebels came out on fire and they easily won the first two sets. Did you sense that your girls were nervous at all, or was it just a matter of Gladbrook Rhinebeck playing that well in those first two sets?
We were nervous. There was definitely nerves in the locker room, and I hadn't anticipated that because we were pretty calm and collected going into their first two matches, being new at state. But the atmosphere, it just kind of consumed us a little bit. And we talked earlier in the day. We spent a lot of time during the day just kind of downtime, resting. We spent some devotional time together in prayer and just finding God's word and finding the calmness in our hearts. And everything that we could do prior to walking into that arena, we did in preparation to stay calm. But as soon as we got into that court, into the arena, we knew it was go time. Everyone, all the team had been talking day after or minute after minute throughout the day about that that rematch with Gladbrook, and we knew this being the championship game, it was really, really important to try to stay calm. But that's hard to do with a young group of girls walking onto that court with that pink and black we've been thinking about forever and ever. And Gladbrook came out on fire, and they were just pounding the ball at us. And we just couldn't slow it down in those first two sets.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of a numbers geek sometimes. And in the third set, when you guys were trailing 21-14, at that point in the match, you guys had won only 43.2% of the points that had been played. You know, so if you assume that you guys have that same 43.2% chance to win the next point that is played, you know, the odds that you guys would go on to win those next 6 points that really got you back, you know, into the set were less than 1%. So that really shows what a remarkable, you know, rally that was. And you still had to eventually fight off two match points in that set, as well as two more in set four. So have you ever been a part of a rally like that, where one team was just on the brink of being swept and was able to completely turn the match around?
We have not. This was actually the first time ever that we've played five full sets. And we were talking about that afterwards, and even prepping into it going into state, we're like, what are we going to do if we have to play five sets? We've never done it before. And I think even over the last two full years, we've only played maybe one or two times to four sets. So we didn't even know if we had the stamina to get us through five sets, and just never have witnessed anything like that before. You know, we were concerned about could we sustain our energy, and, you know, the odds were definitely stacked against us. Yet the girls just didn't let themselves believe it was over. They continued to hang their heads high or lift their heads high. They never looked at defeat. They kept battling and really celebrating every single point. As we watched it back, we're like, how were they still celebrating every single point? And they were in it every step of the way. And as we started to kind of compete through, you know, getting back into that third set, and then we were able to take that fourth set, we were starting to envision what it looked like at the end. And that was key for us in the first two sets. And even during postseason, we could visualize it. What did it look like, that dog pile on the floor, and going into that fifth set? I think we could see it. We were starting to see it again. And that just brought all of the energy back into us.
Well, I know Carly Craig had told me for the Prep of the Week feature that the team gathered in the tunnel and you guys prayed for the confidence that it would take to come back. And she said that she was never really, you know, worried even when your team trailed 21-14 because she thought it would all work out. Did you share that same confidence? And did you guys do anything strategically, you know, to try to slow them down? Because obviously that their hitters were just unstoppable those first two sets.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Carly was right on. Before the game, between every set, even during the set, we would definitely find ourselves in prayer. As we would go back into the tunnel, that was the first thing the girls thought, that, you know, to bow our heads and come together as a team, praying for confidence, strength. You know, not one time did our girls pray for a win, and they just wouldn't pray for a win, but they would pray for strength, they would pray for focus, and to just stay together and trust in that God put us here, and you know, how can we glorify Him by working our way through it. You know, defensively, absolutely. You know, we kept saying we've got to be faster. We've got to slow those attacks down. We were lining up head to head as opposed to shifting over to the side and looking at their attack arm. We needed to slow things down at the net with our blockers, and we needed to get our hands up faster because they were attacking at us pretty quickly. In the third set, Anna Weathers came up with a huge block, and all of a sudden, everybody believed we're going to stop these girls. And then, you know, Morgan Fincham and Cassidy Quick, Carly and Katie both, they were getting hands on balls. And when we were slowing that ball down, our defense could come in and get the ball back into Katie's hands, and then we could run an offense. And that was the turning point. When Anna was able to just dominate that block, it just changed everything. And then all of a sudden, their offense was questioning, what do I do now? They're starting to touch the ball. And so they had to get a little bit more creative. And those blocks really just changed everything, and then slowing that down as far as, you know, getting our defense back in line.
Well, Carly was named to the all-tournament team along with your daughter, Katie, who was selected captain of the squad. And I certainly think Annie and Macy also were worthy of being on the all-tournament team, and perhaps Reese Jurdy as well. But I know you're not going to get four or five players from one team on the squad. Regardless, though, those five players will all be back in 2023. So you have to feel really good about the potential for next year's team. You know, I'm sure you'll have a big target on your back, but, you know, I would think that you'd have to be the number one team in the preseason rankings. That's a good place to be, isn't it?
It's a pretty good place to be, you know, in our rankings this year too, coming off of last year, we felt that same target, and we felt that same pressure of like state, make it to state, you're going to go to state. And some of those times we're just like, okay, we need to like not hear that. So we had to kind of figure out how to tune that out. Absolutely it feels good, but really it all comes down to as the season progresses on. You know, as far as the all-tournament team, I'm so proud of Katie and Carly to have those opportunities to represent the school and represent their team. The whole time, you know, riding home and processing over the last couple of days, we had so many all-tournament players on our team. And, you know, the committee looks at that early, and I know that they start planning, and the odds of having more than two or three on the team is virtually impossible. Anna and Macy both were 100% need that recognition in their contribution. They both played some clutch plays. You know, Anna was really aggressive at the net and just did not falter. She kept going hard right at their big front row and was successful with that. And she was getting blocks and hands on the ball when we needed her to. Macy was rock solid in defense and serving. You know, being the Cookies, you know, tournament server 2 days in a row was pretty amazing for her. But when she got in the front row, you know, being a 5'5 hitter in the front row against some tall, aggressive seniors, it's a tough cookie to handle. And Macy just went after it over and over and over and just didn't hold back. And Reese and Adra, I tell you what, they had key points in the game where they're standing at that serving line and it's set point for Gladbrook. And they did what they needed to do by getting those serves in the court and still being aggressive with those serves. Morgan and Cass as well in our front row, they were both getting their hands on balls. They both had a couple of blocks at key moments. And all of those things, we put that all together, it just contributed. And we're super excited to have this whole team back. We're going to miss our seniors for sure. But, you know, coming out with a reverse sweep is just unheard of. And, you know, getting us a state championship is just something that we're super proud of.
Oh, yeah, it was certainly a team effort. It was an amazing run that you guys went on. It was fun to cover you guys. So congratulations again, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, a vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is the sophomore setter for the Eagles, and she was named the captain of the all-tournament team after leading the team to the Class 1A title. She had a great all-around match in the final against Gladbrook Rhinebeck. She racked up 52 assists, 8 kills, 15 digs, 3 blocks, and 2 aces. She is Katie Quick. Katie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on a great tournament and a great season. You told me last week that it really hadn't sunk in yet that you guys were state champions. You've had a few more days now to process everything. Has it sunk in yet?
I don't think it will ever fully sink in. Every once in a while, it just hit me like, we're state champs. And it kind of sinks in a little bit, but then it fades away and it's like, it'll never fully sink in.
Well, it's got to be a pretty good feeling, though, when you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know your team had some big goals coming into the season, but you did lose 3 matches along the way. You lost to North Tama at the Meskwaki tournament on August 27th, and then on September 24th, you lost to both Applington, Parkersburg, and Dunkerton at the Dunkerton tournament. So do you think you guys learned some things from those losses? You know, do you think the losses ended up being a blessing in disguise?
Yeah, the North Tama loss was kind of a hard one to swallow, being such a close game and so early in the season. It's safe to say that the Dunkerton tournament was definitely not our best tournament. That was probably one of the lowest parts of our season. We just weren't really clicking as a team. And, yeah, I think it was a good lesson to us that we might not always be on, and we can't take any games lightly, and we need to just go out and fight for every point. So.
Well, it must have helped you guys, you know, refocus, because then your team never lost again. You reeled off 18 straight wins to close out the season. One of those victories was a sweep over a pretty good Des Moines Roosevelt team on October 6th. You know, did beating a larger school in that fashion, did that do a lot for the team's confidence?
Yeah, I think it definitely helped build our confidence, along with some wins leading up to that. The Madrid tournament was a big turning point for us. We started getting momentum back at that tournament, I think, and it just kept building from there.
Well, yeah, you guys pretty much cruised through the postseason until you got to the championship match. You dropped only one set along the way, and that came in the regional semifinal against Tri-Center. Now, after your team defeated Sydney in the regional final to earn the school's first ever trip to the state tournament, did you guys celebrate quite a bit, or did you kind of take the approach that, hey, there was still more work to be done?
Yeah, that night we were pretty excited, and it was definitely tough to fall asleep that night. But, you know, after winning that game, we got back to practice the next day, and we pointed our focus back to state and what the next game would hold. We had Coach Wims coming in to help us for a couple of our practices, and he helped a lot with just preparing us with some simple things about like the floor and what state would be like and how we need to warm up and stuff. So,
well, yeah, your team came out and swept Don Bosco in the quarterfinals, and for such a young team, I thought you guys showed a tremendous amount of poise that night in your first state tournament match. You know, you didn't look nervous at all. Was that just because of the confidence that you guys had?
Yeah, we definitely went to that game with a lot of confidence, and I also think we were just so excited and pumped to be playing on such a big stage that definitely motivated us a lot.
Well, then you followed with another sweep over Springville, which was just, you know, a volleyball clinic on the part of the Eagles. Did you ever imagine that your team could come out and play that well against the number one team in the state?
Yeah, we'd been preparing for Springville a lot, and our whole team had so much confidence going into that game. We figured it was going to be a pretty tight match because Springville is very similar to us and a lot of their strengths, and I didn't expect us to come out and play as well as we did, and it was definitely one of the best games of our season.
Well, then in the final against Gladbrook Rhinebeck, your team got off to a slow start. You dropped the first two sets by 25-21 and 25-19. You know, what was going through your mind after those first two sets?
After those first two sets and definitely going into the third, I felt it slipping away a little bit, especially being down 14-21. That's almost an impossible comeback, but then we got a couple points and just started rolling, and our confidence kept building in the fourth set and especially into the fifth set. We had a lot of momentum by then.
Well, yeah, the Rebels hit 342 and 333 in those first two sets, so you obviously had to find a way to slow them down, and you did hold them to under 300 in each of the next three sets. So obviously getting some touches on some of those balls was the key to the comeback, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the key topics we were talking about in our huddles. It was getting hands on blocks on or touches on the ball, and our blocks did start to slow down the other team, and earlier on in the game we were not getting our blocks up, and they were just hammering at us. But then in the third set we started to get up quicker, and we were catching up with them, and that definitely allowed our defense to go to work.
But you told me after the match that the third set was a hard one to explain. You said that the reason that you won is because, you know, you just let God take control and that there was no other way for you to pull it out except through him. Now, I don't think you're giving you and your teammates enough credit, but that was a miraculous comeback, and perhaps there might have been some divine intervention. And I have to admit, though, that I'm not a deeply spiritual person, and I hope I don't come across as questioning your faith, but I'm just curious about it more than anything. But if you guys had lost the match, would you have considered that to be all part of God's plan as well?
Yeah, we definitely know that whatever would have happened would have been his will for us. We as a team were never praying for a win, but just that he would help us play to the best of our abilities. And in the end, we would have been grateful whichever turnout. We're just especially grateful that it turned out the way it did.
Well, there are so many big points and huge moments in your rally. Have you replayed some of those points in your mind over the last week, such as the final point when the kill by Macy closed it out?
I know that myself, along with many others, have rewatched the whole game, especially those big moments, many times already. And it was just such an amazing moment for the whole school and not just us.
Well, we talked to your mom about the prospects for next year. And I know Carly told me that if you guys come back next year with the same level of confidence that you can accomplish so much, do you feel like this team will have a good chance to maybe win another title or two in the next 2 years?
Yeah, it will be harder now because we put ACA on the map. And so now we have a bigger target on our back. But I know that we definitely have the ability to be back at state and even take that title again. In 1A, it's a long road to state, but I think that as long as we keep working hard and staying focused and always playing for God, that he can help us do it again.
Well, you had a great tournament, Katie. Congratulations again, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a sophomore outside hitter for the Eagles, and she also played a key role in the team's run to the championship. She had 33 kills in the state tournament, 18 of them in the title match against Gladbrook Rhinebeck, and it was her kill that closed out the match. She is Macy Nearing. Macy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on winning the title. You know, how does it feel to be a state champion?
I mean, it feels great. I'm just so proud of everyone and how we accomplished it. It still feels unreal, and I still haven't fully processed it, but I don't think I ever really will. I mean, it's awesome. I don't really know what else to say. It's crazy.
Well, I'm sure you've relived some of those moments from the tournament, including the final point. What was that like to get the kill to win the championship and then to be buried by your teammates in a dog pile on the court?
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, after I realized we won, I just broke down. I mean, that last point, I asked Katie for the ball and she gave it to me and I just closed it out. And I mean, that dog pile was something else. I was right on the bottom and honestly, I thought my leg was gonna break. I had like 500 pounds on my leg, but yeah, that was something.
Well, our photographer Drew had a good picture of that, and Coach even got in the dog pile, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Well, I was in Coralville for your first match against Don Bosco, and then I was able to watch your next two matches online, and I know the announcers on the broadcast were amazed by your ability to spike the ball, considering that you are only 5 feet, 5 inches tall. You know, to what do you attribute your success? Is it mostly about your determination?
I would say, obviously, all my success is from the Lord. Obviously, he gives me all my abilities, and I can thank him for that. But I would also say that the most important thing is how much I wanted it for the team and how much I knew that they all deserved the win. And I would also say the determination I had once I was dialed in. Honestly, I didn't think anything could stop me, and that's when I just didn't stop and kept going. So.
Well, yeah, your team has had a pretty balanced attack all year. Carly led the way with 326 kills. Anna had 219, and you finished with 160. Do you think the fact that Katie had so many options with where to set the ball was one of the keys to the team's success this year?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think variety is what makes teams win, and that's what we had. Obviously, Katie tries to set people who are, like, hot and on, but she also knows, like, that she could set any of us at any moment, which keeps other teams guessing and just keeps us going, so.
Well, of course, Katie was a potent weapon as a hitter as well. She racked up 195 kills herself and seemed almost unstoppable at times when she would take a swing. Do you know of any other setters in the state that are as efficient as she is with both her setting and hitting?
Honestly, compared to Katie, I don't think so. She's definitely one of a kind, and we're, like, so lucky to have her on our team. I mean, I've never seen a more strategic player than Katie. She knows exactly what to do at the exact right time always, and I definitely look up to her for that. So.
Kind of makes your job easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Well, you and Katie were also outstanding servers. She led the team with 112 aces, and you had 84, including 9 in the state tournament. You had 5 alone in the win over Springville. Do you think that was one of the keys to that victory, just serving tough against them?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, we have a really good, strong serving team, and it does really help. Even if it's not an ace, if we can still get them to have a bad pass, it's hard for them to set all the players. And obviously, Gladbrook's middles is what hurt us the most. And if we could get them off on a bad pass, then they weren't able to set the middles, which helped us extremely.
Do you think most of your races are the result of pace or placement, or is it kind of a combination of those two things?
I'd say probably both. I mean, it helped a lot knowing where to serve the ball and where the weak passes were, but I also think pace, I mean, it was good to serve deep, but it sometimes was good to serve short, so I think it all just depended.
Now, coming into the tournament, you guys were obviously happy to just be there. It was the first trip ever to the tournament in school's history. But did you feel like the team was capable of going on to win the championship? Did you think that was a realistic goal?
I mean, I knew we were definitely capable. I mean, I know how good we could play. I just wasn't sure if we'd be able to pull through. But obviously we did, and that was crazy. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, in that championship match, you guys lost those first two sets, and you appeared to be on the verge of being swept after you fell behind 21-14 in set three. So were you getting worried at all, or did you never lose your faith?
I got a little worried. I mean, obviously I knew we could do it, but when we got on that run and after we ended up winning the third set, I just knew that we could take it all, and we did, so.
Well, after you guys fought off those two match points in set three and then two more in set four, did you sense that the Gladbrook-Rhinebeck players were starting to panic at all? I mean, they had to feel like the match was kind of slipping away from them, I would think.
Yeah, I definitely think they started to panic. Obviously, those last 4 points that they needed to win, they started tipping the ball a lot, and I think if they would have hit, definitely think they could have gotten a point to win, but they definitely started panicking, and that's what helped us a lot. So,
now, did you guys do anything special to celebrate afterwards?
I mean, we celebrated with our fans a lot and talked to them, and then we also, on our way back, we stopped on the interstate and kind of just were just singing and stuff, and that was fun. But yeah, it's always awesome to just hang out with the team after a big win like that.
Now, did you have any kind of a celebration at the school?
Yeah, that Friday night we had a little ceremony where the principal just talked about everything that we accomplished, and that was, like, really nice just to go through everything that we did.
Well, I was really impressed with the amount of support that you guys had from your fans at the Extreme Arena. You know, do you think that they helped you a lot in that comeback against Gladbrook-Rhinebeck? I'm sure they were pretty loud, weren't they?
Yeah, they definitely were. I liked how they never gave up on us. Even when we were down, they still cheered super loud, and it was amazing to see all the support and how they still believed in us even when we were down.
Well, Macy, I know that both Katie and Anna are really good softball players as well. Do you play any other sports, or do you just focus on volleyball?
Well, I do basketball and track, but I mostly just do those to stay in shape and for the social aspect. But volleyball is definitely my main sport and what I care about the most.
Well, you certainly had a memorable year. It was a lot of fun, so congratulations, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight is the Ankeny Market President at Central Bank, which has been a longtime supporter of Ankeny Fanatic. He's also a member of the Ankeny Centennial Football Stat Crew, and his son, Easton, was a standout for the Jaguars this season. He's Damon Miller. Damon, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, we'll talk about Central Bank here in a minute, but you're obviously a big sports fan, and I want to get your thoughts on a couple of topics. Of course, the Class 5A football playoffs will resume on Friday night with the semifinals at the Unidome, and we have an all-CIML Final Four. Do you give either Johnston or Valley much of a chance, or do you think we're destined to have a Dallin Catholic versus a Southeast Polk championship game?
You know, those two teams have been there, and I think it's just a tough test for Johnston and Valley to get over that hump, but you never know. They both are playing really good at the right time, so hopefully they stay hot and give them a shot. I just want to see some good games. It's nice to see some new teams in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you were high on Centennial's chances to win its opening game up there at the Cedar Falls, and that was a tough loss for the Jaguars because they dominated that game statistically, and I think a lot of people expected Ankeny to reach the Dome for the third straight year, but the Hawks season ended on Friday with a quarterfinal loss to Johnston, so it's kind of a bummer that we don't have a team playing on Friday night, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously being on the north side and being with Centennial, it hurts more as a parent, to be honest with you, than maybe the kids, but Ankeny, we watched that game on Friday night, and you know, just like we lost, the little things came up and got them. Johnson was ready to go. Turnovers were a big part of it, and just ended up that they just ran out of time like we did.
Right. Well, I'm sure you follow our college teams closely as well. This has been an up-and-down season for both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones, and they both have big games coming up on Saturday that could go a long way toward determining bowl eligibility and maybe which bowl they might go to. Do you feel better about both teams after their wins last weekend?
Well, both were very much needed on both sides. We actually have season tickets at Iowa, so I got to say I've probably seen more Hawkeye games out there than Cyclone games, but Iowa just hadn't have any offense until the last couple weeks, so it's nice to see that. And then Iowa State, you know, Deckers, I thought, played a really good game on Saturday and kind of picked up his game a little bit to kind of get over the hump there. But they're both kind of must wins this week to, still.
Well, it's been such an odd season for the Hawkeyes. You mentioned that you're a season ticket holder there. I mean, did you ever envision that they'd have these kind of problems with their offense and how they were just so stubborn they wouldn't make any changes?
not at all. We kind of see it on Friday night and stuff, and you kind of go through that, and then you go down on Saturday and you kind of see some of the same stuff. And, you know, these coaches are getting paid big dollars to produce something, and not seeing it very much. Yeah. So I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, are those coaches really seeing and getting the right kids to play in that offense? I don't know. Obviously, I'm just a banker kind of doing my job back here. But you'd think that offensively they'd be able to do a lot more than they have this year. But, you know, kudos to them sticking it out and, you know, having a game plan.
Right. And it seems like they have some talent on the edges. You know, they got a couple of Ankeny kids there that, you know, we know they have some ability, but yeah, it just seems like they struggle to find ways to get them the ball in space and do things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a play caller, but
I think we could talk about this for a long time, but yeah, it's, you know, Riley Moss is always fun to watch, obviously, there, and he's had a great career, and I know his parents really well, great parents and great supporters of Centennial and just high school sports in general.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Damon, let's talk some banking. How long have you been with Central Bank?
So I've been in February. It'll actually be 5 years. I've been down in the Ankeny market now. It'll go in on 20 years.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys have been an advertiser with us from the beginning, and we really appreciate your support. You know, we couldn't do it without the support from advertisers such as yourself. And I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about Central Bank. So can you kind of give us a rundown of the services that you guys offer, and what do you think separates Central Bank from your competitors?
Yeah, we're a full-service bank. Obviously, the two main things, I always tell people we need deposits and loans, and we do both. But, you know, we've got a personal banker, a branch manager, so we do personal finances, autos, home equity lines of credit. I'm on the commercial side. I deal with a lot of builders and developers, work in the real estate realm. And then we've got C&I and machinery and equipment type of activity, lines of credit, business lines of credit that we deal with too. Central Bank also has an insurance division called Central Insure. We've got a mortgage division. Josh Craighead, his daughter, who was just in state finals there for ACA, give them a little prop out there. He works for us on our mortgage side. We've really grown. You know, we were a small player back in 2013 when Central Bank came into the market. We're actually owned by two brothers, Tim and John Brown, originally from Grettinger, Iowa. They got into the banking game in 1990. They were able to buy basically a savings loan that was going under up in Storm Lake, about a $29 million purchase, and it's about a $1.9 billion bank now. So
wow.
They've been very successful. Yeah. But, you know, the one thing I kind of tell everybody kind of with this group and Tim and John in general is they're very community-driven people. You know, Ankeny, I still feel as this big city, obviously, but it's kind of the small town and people still want those values,
right,
and relationships. And really that's what we're trying to sell and take care of our customers. You know, customer service is a big key. And I've been lucky enough to bring on people that have been able to help me do my job better. And it's a team environment, you know, just kind of like we grew up with sports. We want it to be a team type of atmosphere and kind of lean on people. So I've got a really good group to work with.
Now, if anybody's interested in any of those you know, services that you mentioned, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you? I know you guys have a website because I tag it on our post, but can they reach you through the website?
Yeah, they can reach the website, www.mycentral.bank. They can always call me or my email, and it's dmiller@mycentral.bank. Cell phone, 515-371-4459. It's on my business card. You know, I don't just work 8 to 5. I always have people and customers calling, you know, at different times of the day and stuff. And we'll definitely look at every opportunity we can get.
All right, Damon. Thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ron Sampson from Coldwell Banker, and then we had Coach Michelle Quick, along with her daughter Katie, and Macy Nearing from the Ankeny Christian Academy volleyball team. Enjoyed talking to those three ladies about the Eagles' run to the state championship. That was definitely an exciting run that they went on last week over there at Coralville. And then we finished up with Damon Miller from Central Bank. I appreciate his time as well. So come back for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast next week.